Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
C.J. Stroud, he just met with the media, as did D'Amico Ryan. C.J. Stroud said he was asleep when they got Stephon Diggs. Actually didn't even know what the person who texted him was talking about. And then he found out later they had gotten Stephon Diggs. Also, something C.J. Stroud said has nothing to do with football, but I'm pretty impressed. So I guess his mom's been in town lately, or he got to go to L.A., and spend some time with her. I guess they have a family dog, Oreo, mini poodle. 19 years old, man.
Hey, hanging in there.
19 years old.
That's the OG right there, man.
What is Oreo eating, man?
Hey, who knew that CJ Stroud's poodle might be the toughest member of the family, hanging in there at 19?
19, that's goals.
Oreo might be a vegan or something.
Yeah, for real.
I know goals is overused at times, but... Yeah, I think that's a goal that everyone can relate to.
I want my dog to live forever, man. Yeah.
19 long as years.
Yeah, the one in my parents' home is 14 right now. So I'm like kind of counting down. It's like, man, I'm just glad to still have you. I couldn't even imagine another 5 years. I hope I get it.
Man, I just took my dog to the vet last week, and they said he reached senior citizen mode, man. So he's around 8 years old, around there. I'm like, oh, that kind of hit me hard a little bit.
Mine is graying a little bit around
senior
the muzzle.
Citizen.
Yeah, man, it's tough.
Mine's sick right now. Throwing up for 2 days.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You had him out in the,
got
out
the Rona?
In, had her out in the park.
Nah, she ain't got the Rona. She'd be running around with that. I actually don't even want to think about it, but I think she got some of my protein powder the other day, and it was chocolate.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what? That
it was a chocolate powder, but she gets underneath me, and I think it was just a little bit. Because I thought back to it. I was like, why is she throwing up? And I think she got a little bit of that chocolate powder.
Nah, that serves her right for acting brand new with the baby sister, though. I saw that video, acting brand new at the park with the baby sister, acting like she didn't want to hang out with her.
Yeah,
man. That's karma.
Yeah, they don't like it in public.
Hey, man, nah, you got to act right.
Wide receiver is going to be one of the more polarizing positions in the draft. This is Mike Garofalo talking about some wide receiver visits, including one that could lead to the Texans taking on one of the fastest players in NFL history, not once, but twice.
Late one into the start of day two, we're tracking some of those visits. We'll start with Georgia's Ladd McConkey, who is part of the Falcons' local day. He recently met with the Browns, the Falcons and Browns, two of 14 teams that have done in-person work with McConkey. Then there's Xavier Worthy, who set the record at the combine with his 4.21 40. He met with the Colts recently. I'm told he had five of those top 30 visits from the Senior Bowl. And then how about Oregon's Troy Franklin? He actually reported that he visited with the Bills yesterday. I can add the Jets, the Patriots, the Panthers, and the Cleveland Browns for that potential late first round, early second rounder in Troy Franklin. So those are some of the interesting visits that we've been tracking for that cluster of receivers that, again, we're seeing late Thursday night into early Friday.
What is Cleveland doing with all these receivers? What are we doing?
Hey, man, they trying to give Deshaun Watson a chance.
I mean, they already gave Jerry Jeudy that big contract. They got Amari Cooper. What are we doing here?
Nah, they
traded a second for Elijah Moore last year.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Hey, man.
That's an expensive wide receiver room, man.
Hey, look, once you spend more money than God on perhaps a lemon at quarterback, you got to give them all the chances, man. You got to give them all the chances. I ain't mad at it. I understand.
So Xavier Worthy, Indianapolis, that kind of scares you a little bit?
Speed kills. Xavier Worthy, both of us have watched a lot of him over the last few years. And, yeah, man, that is one. You put Xavier Worthy in a Shane Steichen offense, and Anthony Richardson, I know when he throw the ball, you don't really know half the time where it's going.
Oh, he can throw the deep ball, though.
But you just tell Xavier Worthy to run really fast and tell Anthony Richardson to just crank that thing. I feel like that's a connection that could work. I don't want to see. I'm rooting for Xavier Worthy in a vacuum, but not rooting for him to go to the Colts because I don't want to see it.
Andrew Luck, he has thoughts on Anthony Richardson. Here was Andrew Luck. They had a banquet. Actually raised over $1 million. So this is from our guy Kevin Bowen. Andrew Luck talking about the Indianapolis Colts quarterback.
I have not met Anthony in person. We have texted and stuff and just paths haven't been able to cross. I know we'll get to meet at some point. And I do hesitate with advice. I mean, he's certainly not a kid. I mean, that guy's out there playing quarterback in the NFL, and that's hard. It's really hard. And I think he has the approach. I think he's got the support system to be a real success in this league and a real dynamic player that Colts fans can be proud of and fans around the country be proud of. So I'm excited to watch, you know, where this thing goes and see how it is.
We'll see how that goes. Colts also, by the way, they signed DeForest Buckner 2-year extension worth $46 million. Pretty good.
Does it sound like Andrew Luck thinks that playing quarterback in the NFL is hard?
I'm shocked that he didn't come back. I'll be honest with you. When the news broke that he was retiring, I remember exactly where I was.
Oh, yeah.
When the news broke that he was retiring, because I was watching the Texans.
Yeah.
That Lamar Miller had just torn his ACL.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he would be back by now. And Jim Irsay's basically said as much. I'm shocked at how content he was not playing football anymore.
Yeah, well, once I, you know, read all of the and listened to all of the reporting afterwards and how he kind of felt about his body and everything, I guess it wasn't as surprising.
Well, he used to get whooped up on too.
But that's the part that surprises me from this audio of being hesitant to give advice. Like, if there's any advice that Anthony Richardson needs, and specifically
protect
from
yourself,
an Andrew Luck,
quit getting hurt,
it's, hey man, this game
slide.
Is precious.
Slide.
Your body is more fragile than you think. I know you're big and strong and fast and you think that you can withstand any kind of hit. But slide, get out of bounds, protect your neck. You're like, come on, Andrew Luck. That's the obvious, clear advice to give, dude.
Going around the league here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, B. Scott in for J-Lo. The Starbucks baby has put down the coffee, and he is officially carrying the water. This is Jordan Schultz. He was on Fox Sports 1. He was talking about the Tennessee Titans. I think he actually had the Calvin Ridley news. Here's the Starbucks baby, Jordan Schultz, carrying the water.
Will Levis carries himself with a certain swag of a marquee franchise quarterback. Then they go out and get Calvin Ridley. Now, there's a little quick side story here of how that happened. Jacksonville thought they were getting him back. New England thought Jacksonville was getting him back. We know he wanted to stay in the South. At the final hour, Tennessee comes in after missing out on a couple guys the day before, CJ Gardner-Johnson. They weren't able to acquire them. They pivot. They go to the wide receiver, Calvin Ridley, and he's still thinking Jags, who offered, by the way, dollar for dollar, exactly what the Titans offered. Rand Carthon, the GM of the Titans, gets on a FaceTime with Calvin Ridley, and he says, "We're both from Florida. You're going to love the way we treat you inside this building." Halfway through the conversation, Ridley says, "No, no more. I'm in." That's the difference maker, and I think Brian Callahan benefits in a big way.
The dollar for dollar report has confused me. Why?
Yeah.
That's what I'm confused by. Why go to Tennessee dollar for dollar with the Jags? What's the deal there?
And also, I didn't get the tiebreaker there.
I just figure they money whipped.
Well, yeah, so there's that. But then he makes it sound like the tiebreaker was, instead of going to the Florida football team, you're going to go to Tennessee to be with the GM that's from Florida, and somehow them both being from Florida is going to impact how he's treated in the building. The way that story was told, I was like, okay, so what does that got to do with anything? Like, we're both from Florida, but you're going to go play in Tennessee, and this is the GM that's saying, like, I didn't get the selling point there. Like, you know what, the GM's from Florida? Oh, he going to treat me good in Tennessee? I can't wait to get there. Let's go. Like, it did not hit for me.
That's confusing. The Snead move, I guess I could understand overpaying for Snead, and they paid the third-round pick to the Chiefs, but the Calvin Ridley thing was confusing. The dollar for dollar confuses me even more. That's Jordan Schultz, also known as the Starbucks baby, with that report.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brandon Ayuk, he's unfollowed the 49ers on social media. This is where it gets real. Brandon Ayuk, unhappy in San Francisco. What is San Francisco going to do with Brandon Ayuk is kind of the question. Like, can they afford to let him go? He's a very productive player. Now, he might not be a wide receiver one, but he is for them. They got a lot of guys on that squad that are highly paid. They got, of course, the rookie quarterback. The Ayuk thing is interesting. I think I've heard the Baltimore Ravens as potentially a target for Brandon Ayuk. Who knows where this ends up? I've heard Pittsburgh too, which.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the price? Second rounder?
Yeah.
Third rounder? What are we thinking? It's not a first.
Nah, it's not a first.
Let's be serious.
It's not a first at all, but maybe a second rounder. What really makes it interesting for me is how the Texans are eliminated from the pool, because, like, if you would ask me, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Pre-Diggs trade. Would you have rather traded that second rounder for Ayuk?
No, I'd rather have Diggs. I've seen a few people say that they'd rather have Brandon Ayuk. I'd rather have Stephon Diggs.
I think Nico's in the Ayuk class.
Well, and that's why I thought, for a couple of reasons, I thought Ayuk made more sense, because Nico's more in that class. But I think, you know, based off of last year, it feels like he might have a higher ceiling if you just base it off the 1 year Ayuk has had more of a body of work. But I felt like they were looking for more of a, you know, third wide receiver, second wide receiver to their Nico, their Tank. So more of a complimentary piece. And I viewed Ayuk as that, not necessarily the Stephon Diggs, but also the background with San Francisco. I thought he made a lot more sense to be here. Now that you eliminate Houston as a possibility, it makes it even more interesting for me.
The whole thing was weird.
Yeah.
Because they lose the Super Bowl. Ayuk, what was it like the week that his girlfriend or wife is saying, yeah, this might be the last time we go to the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's kind of upset. There's reports about that. He kind of cries at the exit interviews about how disappointed he is that they came up short. Maybe they can get through this drama.
Well, didn't he watch Deebo Samuel? Like, Deebo ended up getting a contract, right? He ended up doing the...
Yeah, Deebo kind
of... Yeah, this was a couple of years ago now. Yeah, so, I mean, he's been there for it and seen it happen, so he's probably like, hey, it's my turn, you know? Like, it is odd. It definitely is odd. I'm interested to see where he's going to end up.
DeVonta Smith, he got a three-year, $75 million contract extension. That includes $51 million guaranteed. Eagles invest a lot at the wide receiver position. They got A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's how you do it. Like, especially a dude that you drafted and has...
And Saquon.
Yeah. Hey.
And Hurts.
They're low-key sneaky. They're like... I feel they're sneaky because last year was such a disappointment, but then they're just gonna pop up first week and you can be like, wait a minute,
paying money, is that like crazy?
Is that Saquon? Is that an even happier DeVonta Smith now that he got this $50 million guaranteed? Like, they are one to watch.
Joe Burrow, he says he's back to being himself. You asked the question, how much is the way that we think about CJ tied to beating Burrow straight up?
Yeah, I feel like the recency bias is going to be, CJ against the Colts at the end of the season, right? That first play of the game to Nico. CJ leading them to a playoff victory at home over the Browns. And obviously, you know, it didn't work out against the Ravens, but we've had more recent examples of CJ brilliance. But that, to me, that two-week stretch feels like when it started, right? The game-winning drive against Tampa Bay and then going on the road and out-dueling Joe Burrow. To me, I feel like that's where the CJ sensation or craze sort of really starts. It's like, okay, he goes out there and beats head-to-head perhaps his perfect comp. So yeah. Is this the dude that's up next?
You think that was where the mania began?
That's where I feel like I can trace it.
I thought the Jags and Steelers was where it started.
Well, definitely. Jags in week three is definitely like the beginning of, oh, hey, wait a minute. But to me, when you have a back-to-back win, like back-to-back wins like that between Tampa Bay and then on the road to Cincinnati, the drama of it, right? The drama how the Tampa Bay game ends and then just the fact that you go on the road and beat your perfect comp, I feel like you can trace back like the real – legitimate belief. Like Jags, you can still say small sample size, got to see more, right? By the time you get to the Bengals game and him beating Joe Burrow head to head, I feel like we're really made to be believers.
Hines Ward, once upon a time, he actually interviewed for the Texans head coaching gig a couple years ago. He's agreed to become Arizona State's next wide receiver coach. So from interviewing for a head coaching gig with the Texans a couple years ago, he's now the receiver coach at Arizona State. He's the former wide receiver coach at FAU and has been an offensive assistant for the Jets and head coach in the XFL.
Yeah, where would he be without, you know? Where would Hines Ward be today without the help of Jack Easterby?
I remember I saw the text message to multiple people where Easterby was taking credit when Hines got his first gig. I think it might have been the XFL. He's like, isn't that beautiful or something? I saw it was like the same text to multiple people, but I was like, okay. They're taking credit for that, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Got Andre Johnson in the Hall of Fame, too.
I don't know about that.
He'll tell you that.
So the quarterback controversy when it comes to the draft, there's a couple of polarizing figures at the position. None more polarizing, I would say, than J.J. McCarthy. The New York Giants, we don't know what they're going to do with Daniel Jones and how that's going to go. But Tiki Barber would rather run it back with Daniel Jones than draft J.J. McCarthy. Here was Tiki Barber on WFAN.
J.J. McCarthy thing, I'm tired of hearing it. Stop with the J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm tired. Like, he's not – His film doesn't say he's a first-round quarterback because a lot of what he does doesn't translate. The scheme that he ran at Michigan, it didn't highlight the things that you need to do, second, third-level reads and, multiple, combo routes that you have to get correct. He didn't do any of that stuff. They were run-based. He was good at asking what Jim Harbaugh wanted him to do. So the J.J. McCarthy thing, to me, is the smokescreen. Now, all of a sudden, he's a top-four quarterback? I don't buy it.
Could you imagine if we were having a discussion about J.J. McCarthy or Drake May?
Dude.
Would you be in on J.J. McCarthy?
No. I would not.
How is this a thing?
Like, I would probably, given how scarred we were at the time, I'd probably find a way to talk myself into how it could work. But would I be excited about it? Would I be, like, pounding the table for it? Would I be anticipating it? Absolutely freaking not.
So do you think either one of these guys, McCarthy or Drake May, is this year's Will Levis that kind of falls back?
Drake May, maybe. But, like, if J.J. McCarthy is so damn good, why don't we know it?
Because they run the rock a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
But they didn't need to. They didn't need to throw as much with him.
But if he was that damn good, they would have. Like,
why? They didn't need to. They were winning games.
Man, look. If you got a quarterback that can sling it around the park, you're gonna throw the damn football. Period. And
so, what would you
be
saying?
Your head coach is a former quarterback and an offensive mind. No, I don't think it was that they didn't need to. I think it's because they had to run the football because that was the identity of the team.
So, if the Texans had the second pick, you'd be Jaden Daniels, and that's a wrap.
Yeah. Well, they got a quarterback.
Okay. What if they were third? No, I'm saying if they never got CJ.
If they were third,
we'd be talking trade back.
Yeah, no, if they were third, I would consider drafting Drake May. Like I would for sure.
May or McCarthy?
Oh, that's not even. Dude.
Sorry to offend you,
dude. Not even. No.
See how offended he was by that?
Hell yeah. No, I'm not drafting Jake McCarthy.
McCarthy for me seems like a second round. Like maybe you're open to it.
I don't even know. Nah,
it kind of got a Mac Jones feel to it.
I don't see, not man. Even.
Mac Jones was like lighting it up, though.
During that time, though.
Hey, let me tell you, I don't see it, bro. I don't see it. I see more Kenny Pickett. Like, I don't see it, man.
Yeah, where you're trying to talk yourself into a quarterback?
Yeah. I don't see it at all,
There's
man.
Not as much consequence. It's just, it's kind of wild that this is where we are. But it always happens at the draft. We always fall for it. Do we not? We always fall for, hey, this quarterback's going to get drafted early. Oh, my God, did the Texans like Will Levis? Say it ain't so. And then all of a sudden he's going back to 33.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, like, do one of those guys end up sitting it out much like we see consistently?
I think that the evaluators, for the most part, can see past the BS, and J.J. McCarthy is going to be drafted somewhere in the mid to late second round, right where he's supposed to. And I wouldn't touch him until the third round, honestly. I wouldn't be interested even then. There's got to be better players on this board than damn J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, man, that's a winner you're talking about, man.
Oh, well, good for him. So was the short dude from Georgia, Stetson Bennett. He's a winner, too. I ain't drafting his ass either.
Remember when he was Mr. Irrelevant?
Was he?
I think he was Mr. Irrelevant 2 years ago.
Stetson was?
Yeah. Wasn't he?
No, he was just last. What did this last offseason? He was getting in trouble in Dallas.
They took him earlier, right?
Yeah,
I felt like he was fourth. Or
Brock
something.
Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Stetson Bennett might have gone a little earlier then.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he was like fourth.
Should have been fourth. Mr. Irrelevant, dude. That there were Texans fans. You guys might not want to admit it. Now
I remember.
I admit I was Bryce or bust. There were Texans fans saying, "Hey, he's just a winner. He should kick the tires on Stetson Bennett." That's a fact.
I saw it.
That's not one. There were lots.
That is not a straw man.
There were lots. That is a fact.
I saw it. I did. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah. I think I lost hair having that conversation. Coming up, the internet goes nuts. Cal McNair and Hannah McNair get asked about it. One of them didn't want to say a damn thing, though. Internet going nuts next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I got the internet going nuts.
Internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. The McNairs, they made the rounds. Who did they not speak to? They spoke to the great Jason Bristol, the great Randy McAvoy, and Will Kunkel. I'm not going to call him great yet. He's not there yet. You got big shoes to fill there.
Oh, damn. Will can't get the great love?
He's my guy, man, but no, not yet. Got to be here for a few more years before you get that.
And he's filling the biggest of shoes that you could possibly try to fill.
Big fan of Kunkel stats and info on Twitter. As well, he's definitely pause. He's the best looking TV dude in the business. I can say that right now in town. I would say now that Matt Musil retired, of course.
There you go. I was gonna say don't sleep
for
on my guy
years,
Maddie.
But I would say Kunkel's probably.
I don't know. We got some pretty good ones, man. I feel like Chance cleans up nice. Jason Bristol cleans up nice. We got a pretty good.
Yeah, Chance is pretty smooth with it, too.
Yeah, we got a pretty good core, man.
But anyway, the McNairs talked to Will Kunkel, the great-ish Will Kunkel, and he asked him about that big historical monument that they got at NRG. This is what at least half of the McNairs had to say.
What's next for the Astrodome? What is going to happen with that building?
It's a county building, so whatever they decide to do, I'm sure they'll figure out something soon. It's, I think it's been condemned, and it's not being used, so it's a drain on the taxpayer. So we'll see what the county decides to do.
Would you like to get involved, Hannah?
I'm not saying anything.
There you go. She has no comment.
I said enough. And Cal being really, really kind there, where he goes, I think it's been condemned. What are the chances that the owner of the Houston Texans, a tenant over there at NRG Park, okay, a tenant since, I guess, 2002, however long the team's been there, and he's been there since day one, right, the son of the former owner, what are the chances that he thinks the building is condemned? He knows 100% with his entire soul that building is condemned and has been so for the length of, like, a high school lifetime. My oldest child will go to high school this year. And that building was condemned before she was born.
They got to figure it out.
That is ridiculous.
They got to figure it out. And I know that they have the historical. There's some steps. We got to get those steps done. Internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
I got the internet going nuts.
Indianapolis Colts, they have signed Forrest Buckner to a 2-year extension. Also in Indianapolis, Xavier Worthy has met with the Indianapolis Colts, which has people wondering, are the Colts going to trade into the back end of the first round, or could the Colts be looking to trade back? Chris Ballard, been relatively quiet this offseason. Indianapolis could be one of the more under-the-radar aggressive teams when the draft comes around.
Yeah, I don't want to do the way too easy, lazy comparison, but my mind can't help but go here, Landry. Xavier Worthy being the next T.Y. Hilton.
Come on.
For the Colts. And maybe there is some, there's two things at play here. Me being a Texas fan who watched Xavier Worthy do his thing for the Longhorns, and then me being a Texans fan who watched T.Y. Hilton torch the Texans for years, I'm marrying the two experiences for, like, this catastrophic scenario. It's like, I can see it. I can see it. It's there. It's in play. It's in play.
I got the internet going nuts.
UFC usually has the internet going nuts. How in the heck did UFC have a 300 event and it generated little to no buzz? What's going on there? I know there's a lot of UFC fans. I know it's kind of more popular in the mainstream. How the heck was their 300th event, not even really that big of a deal.
Well, and especially at this time of year, right? Like the NBA, you're in that weird spot between the end of the regular season where it really doesn't matter and the actual postseason itself. Baseball hasn't really gotten interesting yet. The draft hasn't come. This would have felt like the best weekend to buy a fight or to host a party, and I didn't hear nobody talking about nothing. I ended up seeing some videos afterward, old dude that knocked the dude out with like 1 second left in the round or whatever it was. But, man, nobody was checking for this. Nobody was talking about it.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, over the weekend, there was an interesting video involving Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce at Coachella with Taylor Swift. They're making out in the stands. And there was also the video of Travis Kelce getting his diploma, which, by the way, I think he graduated in early 2000s, and chugging a beer. How old is too old to chug a beer on a stage at a college?
Yeah, I would even say at this age, just... And I don't want to take the moment from people, but you can just mail me my stuff. Like, I'm not finna be standing around all of these kids with no diploma. Like, as long as I got the valid piece of paper itself, I don't have to do the pomp and circumstance. I would say after, what is Travis Kelce, 34, 35, somewhere around there. I would say right about where he's at. Right about where he's at is too old. Yep, that's it. 34.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I got the internet going nuts.
Alleged nose job. Rap beef's gotten kind of weird lately.
Dude.
Rick Ross put a side-by-side of Drake up, and he is now alleging that Drake got a nose job.
BBL Drizzy. Dude, I can't believe that this is where we have come in rap beefs. Like, we went from even just a week ago being upset that J. Cole decided to bow out and apologize at his own festival to, like, if you would have told me a week later that the top most successful rapper in the game would be getting called out for having plastic surgery. Like, where are we?
He definitely got abs, though.
Oh, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, he definitely got abs.
Yeah, no, that's low-key on the record, man, that he got that ab surgery.
Yeah, he's put on like 40 pounds and he has abs.
Have we come far enough as a society to allow men to not get flack for doing? I feel like if a woman gets plastic surgery, we're like, oh yeah, that's what the women do. But when a dude gets plastic surgery, we're like, hey man, especially you're supposed to be a rapper.
The thing is, I felt like nobody really criticized him for it. Like, people just been bringing it up, but he ain't get criticized as much.
That's all right. If you can afford it, go ahead and do it, man.
Well, that's the thing. I would point out, I ain't seen it really saw the difference. Like, I'm like, okay, if y'all say so, but I don't.
Yeah, but the damage is done now.
If he did get one, he might want his money back because it looked like the same damn nose that his black ass had at the beginning.
It's a little smaller.
Is it?
A little bit. Like the bridge, right?
I guess.
Maybe Rick Ross brainwashed me. Maybe I'm the problem.
I ain't see it. I get it with the abs, though. I see that. Hey, but Rick Ross, fun. It might be a little unhinged. I'm a little worried now because I feel like if you look at Rick Ross's Instagram stories, whenever you see somebody with, like, the smallest of dots possible on the Instagram.
Oh, he's all over. It's hard to follow.
That's irritating, man.
Ooh, but worry about that person.
I went down a rabbit hole yesterday, and I was like, damn, dude.
Hey, look, if the smaller your dots are on your Instagram stories, the more concerned I am about your mental health. Yes.
Yeah.
Very concerned. Very concerned. Something ain't right.
Plus, he's out till like 5, 6, 7, 8.
The boy ain't right. But funny. Funny as hell.
He's blasting a lot of Cash Money music, too.
Yeah, he went by Birdman's house. His Birdman sided with Drake.
He say he wrote the joint with Travis Scott. Or was that the one he was playing in the club?
He was playing.
Which
Drake,
one was it?
He was I forget which Drake,
one.
One
of his common hits. He's like, who you think like, wrote this?
You don't know who wrote this.
And watch, he probably ain't even write it. He just trolled it.
Yep. That's what it was. Landry Locker, B. Scott in for J-Lo. Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, 10 days till the draft. Could there be a surprise for the Houston Texans? Should they be playing chess more than checkers? We'll elaborate on that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Back to work, Texans. Little voluntary workouts today. No word on if Stephon Diggs was there or not. I'm not sure if he was, wasn't.
I feel like if he was, we would have found out about it.
What, we got a press conference?
No, we would have gotten a tweet, Stephon Diggs in the presence, or, you know, he is here in attendance for the press conference. We would have found out about it.
Okay, well, haven't heard about him all offseason, so there is that. We got 10 days from the draft. Is there any surprise? Is there anything that maybe we're not expecting that could happen? We've seen Nick Caserio be quite aggressive. Could we see some sort of surprise when the draft happens? 10 days, really 11 for the Texans, if we're being honest, because they don't have a first-round pick.
Top two surprises got to be if they still double down on wide receiver, because I feel like the natural assumption after they made the Stephon Diggs trade was, okay, well, your immediate needed wide receiver is filled by trading for Stephon Diggs. You're not going to double down on that, considering all the other quote-unquote needs that you got on the team. And I see a lot of that on the text line, like, hey, you can't go wide receiver now. You got too many needs to fill. Well, I feel like that's going to have a lot to do with supply and demand. I think the surprise for a lot of people would be if they still went wide receiver given the Stephon Diggs trade, but there's going to be wide receivers there and available. And I wouldn't be too short-sighted about just thinking in terms of this year. Think in terms of next year, maybe even the year beyond that, when – you know, the wide receivers that are on this team right now might not still be here.
What do you think the biggest disconnect is? Because last year, obviously, you're talking about the number two pick. They love Will Anderson. Then there was talk about the quarterback. I wonder what their biggest disconnect would be. Like, are they talking just specific guys? Could they disagree on a D lineman? Could they disagree on how much they need a corner, linebacker? I wonder, last year it was easy to spot the disagreement. I think they kind of compromised with the trade they ended up making. But I wonder what the biggest disconnect is between Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah, I would hope there is some diversity of thought with all of it, right? Like, we know that they're collaborating, but, I mean, this is what checks and balances look like. You know, okay, so I like – DeMeco talked about this in his opening press conference last year when he got hired, how he wanted a linebacker – but there ended up being a running back that they thought that could help him late in the draft. Like, hopefully those are still the type of conversations that are being had between DeMeco and Nick Caserio. But in terms of actual position, I could see all of them. Like, the ones that you just mentioned, linebacker, tight end, whether a running back, are we drafting a running back too high here? Do we feel like we can get somebody of comparable talent later on in the draft? Like, how do they view the depreciated running back market? Like, I really would like to know it. Like, do they view it as,
they might look at it as an opportunity because of where they're drafting.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. So I wonder, so does one person look at it that way, and is somebody on the other side of the ledger like, we don't need to go running back this high? You know, and I imagine there is some diversity of thought there.
Well, and I wonder if there's more cooks in the kitchen, too. Like, I don't anticipate the McNairs foaming at the mouth and saying, we want to get in this mix and we want to influence draft selection. But I do wonder if maybe Bobby Slowick has a little more say, since he's 1 year in and he knows what's going on. How much say did he have last year? Like, are there more cooks in the kitchen? Could Slowick find a way to implement himself more into the discussion when it comes to drafting offense, defense, et cetera?
Yeah, and I think he should, right? Like, if you just think about the progress that he's made in status and stature from last year, like a guy that you only had heard of because, you know, he's tied to the Shanahan tree, his dad coached, but you didn't really know a whole lot about him. You fast forward, now he's done head coaching interviews. So and he's somebody that you've given a raise. Like, how much does that have to do with it? Like, hey, man, you paid me more. Maybe you might want to listen to me a little bit more. I could totally see that. And I think that's a good thing. Bobby, at the very least, showed enough to have established that type of credibility. I think they should be checking, hey, what you think you can do with him? Do you think you could scheme this guy up? Like, I would be asking that question. Is this worth our second round pick in a year that we don't have a first anymore? Yeah, I think that's and so on and so forth with the rest of the rounds. I would definitely be consulting with Bobby.
We're going to hear from Nick Caserio 11 o'clock on Thursday. So we'll get to hear Nick talking about the Stephon Diggs move, which really it's the weirdest thing about the Stephon Diggs thing for me is that it was your third option. Your first option was to trade for Arik Armstead, at least I think. I mean, maybe they could have found a way to do all this, but you tried to trade for Arik Armstead. You heard him confirm that.
Yeah.
You tried to trade for Keenan Allen. That didn't work out. And then you went with Diggs. It's not necessarily that they traded for Diggs. It's that it was actually their third option. That's what's why. And that's why if you talk about Nick Caserio and what you like, I think his ability to adjust is what I like the most. But it is kind of wild that this splash move, this big move that we talk about that had the internet going nuts, that had Texans fans going nuts, that has the entire AFC going nuts, it was really your third option.
Yeah, and they did. I'll shout out the media in the press conference today. They did try to get some insight into how this process played out. And, of course, DeMeco Ryans wasn't going to give them the goods on that, on, like, when exactly did they sort of start to fixate on a Stephon Diggs trade? When did that become like a part of the like a realistic possibility for them? Like, if it was something that they were trying to do earlier in the offseason, then it would not have happened as late as it did, right? They tried to do the Keenan Allen thing first. You mentioned the Arik Armstead thing even before that. So it does make you wonder what was the, because they obviously made a pivot, but what was the pivot point exactly and how did that discussion go? I mean, I'd love to know it.
Yeah, because that's a hell of a pivot. Yeah. I mean, it's not like as extreme as, you know, trading for David Johnson after you don't get Carlos Hyde. It's not like that extreme, but it's a pretty big.
Well, it's Stephon Diggs.
Layers too.
Like, how do you go from, like, you trade for Stephon Diggs? How do you go from not necessarily being interested to trading for Stephon? And I'm not saying that they weren't, but they obviously hadn't done it up until that point. How do you go from either not being interested or being lukewarm on Stephon Diggs to trading to outright trading for him and guaranteeing him extra money, giving him a raise and fixing the contract to where it's super player friendly? Like, to go from, to not just pivot, but to go from kind of 0 to 100 or maybe 50 to 100 that quickly is, to me, interesting.
Well, and then you make the trade with Minnesota, and that was, I would think, step one of it because you traded the extra second rounder.
Yeah. Well, I just love, too, how the narrative got to be flipped. Because we assume when that trade was made that it was more, like, from a national perspective, it was more about the Vikings and them trying to trade up to probably go get a quarterback.
What do you think the Diggs move is? Like, who do you think it says the most about? Because I think the Will Anderson move was kind of a compromise. I think that's they might not admit it, but I think it was maybe not a compromise, but they were split and they decided, okay, we can get both because we have extra comp. The Diggs move to me is a DeMeco move because the culture that DeMeco has put together is one that you feel comfortable enough. And you heard Cal say this, I think it was with Bristol, you feel comfortable enough bringing him in. That has as much to do with the head coach as anything.
Yeah, no, I think it's all to do with the head coach. Like, could you have seen, I mean, let's just be honest, Nick Caserio has been here, and I understand the team is different. You got to factor that into it. But Nick Caserio has been here. I couldn't see him making this deal with Lovie Smith as his head coach, or, you know, obviously not David Culley as his head coach. It this feels very DeMeco specific, and I tie it to the fact that he's like this, you know, former player as a coach, talked very specifically at the combine about wanting to go get a separator. And I don't feel like he really needed to go as – like, he decides when he wants to go in depth on a topic. I don't feel like he needed to necessarily go as in depth as he did that day at the combine on what type of receiver he wanted. And then what type of receivers did they target and then eventually get? Keenan Allen, one of the best route runners in the game of his generation in terms of getting open, and Stephon Diggs, who was built of the same from the same cloth. So, like, it to me, it's very clearly a D'Amico type thing.
Yeah, just the caliber of trade has been nice to see in the last year or so, because there was a time where you're just trading third rounders for Duke Johnson and Gary and Conley. You're not winning any trades, really. And now you're going out there and getting Stephon Diggs, traded for Will Anderson. Just the overall quality is just – it's improved significantly when it comes to the way in which we talk about this squad, the way people look at this squad, the excitement. Today, I think the press conference I saw when I peeked in, I think it had 1,000 people in it. I mean, there were times where maybe 100.
Yeah.
As far as people watching on the – channel and stuff like that.
Yeah, and
they also got opposing fans trolling them now. So you got there's like Chiefs fans and Bills fans showing up and trolling Texans fans, which means perhaps they think you're a little bit more of a threat.
Yeah, because before that, the only fans that really cared about you at all might be Jacksonville, maybe Tennessee, maybe just the in division fan bases. But now you're looking across the league, and you've got everybody's attention. But I'll point again to this raising of the standard. And the collaboration here, like, I think you can credit the arrival of D'Amico Ryans for the raising of the standard, but also, like, Nick Caserio needing this. Like, he needed a D'Amico Ryans. He needed a, like, kind of somebody to work in tandem with.
Do you think he would have found it on his own?
Absent of hiring somebody like a D'Amico Ryans, like, he could have found another coach of that caliber, I think, is possible. Like, I think if they had hired Shane Steichen, I feel like they'd still be in good shape. Now, I prefer to have D'Amico
Ryans.
I don't know
if the fan base would have been as excited about
that. The fan base would not have been as excited about that, but they would have still had a really damn good football coach. So I say that to say D'Amico wasn't the only good football coach that he could have hired, the only good football mind that he could have hired, but it had to either be that or something like that. Like, he couldn't just hire some any old no-name coach and then it's just going to be Nick himself shepherding everybody through – you know, through this next phase of the process. Like, nah, he needed something, either D'Amico himself or somebody like that, for sure. So but that increases the urgency. It's like, oh, man, we got this head coach. This head coach seems to have a good grasp for what he's doing and for what he wants and seems to have a vision. I need to be in a position to help execute said vision. That's going to help my stand power. It kind of really benefits everybody.
Who do you think is the most important piece, like, of the big three? If you had to pick between Nick, D'Amico and CJ, if you said, okay, this is the most important piece, which one would you say?
Yeah, I would go in order. I'd go CJ, D'Amico, Nick.
I would go D'Amico, CJ, Nick. I think D'Amico is the most important thing.
Yeah, I think
he helps. I think the environment that he establishes, I think it helps CJ maximize his best. I don't think he could obviously have as much sex without success.
Yeah, well.
Not sex. Success. Yeah. Pause. Yeah. Success without CJ, because obviously you need one or the other. But I think that as long as you have D'Amico, you're going to establish yourself as a pretty good, stable organization.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, but I would just say I think D'Amico Ryans with Davis Mills. I like CJ Stroud with Lovie Smith over D'Amico Ryans with Davis Mills. Like, I think you're going to be better off. So to me, players, I say that just to say that players matter a little bit more.
Okay, but, so you think if Lovie Smith had CJ and D'Amico had Davis Mills, you think Lovie wins?
I think this is a good race of the smallest person here. I don't like either scenario, but
we'll
yes.
be going into year three of Lovie.
All right, so here you go.
I'm gonna tell you, man. I hate that this is funny though.
This is a good topic for tomorrow.
I like it.
No, lay this out. Put this on the dock.
Who do you prefer? Which combination would you prefer?
Okay. So Lovie Smith and CJ versus D'Amico and Davis. Okay.
I'm giving the slight edge to Lovie and CJ. Slight.
Oh, no, man.
Slight, but all of a sudden I'm
might be
sad.
Running the ball at Burkhead.
All of a sudden I'm sad and wish that I had not have presented.
Lovey
could have
got to like 7 or 8 wins, right? With CJ.
Ooh, 7 or 8?
Yeah. And I'm saying CJ could have got 7 or 8 wins. Yeah.
What did
CJ?
I don't know. I don't know. With Lovey might trade you CJ for Davis Mills with how much he loved him. Remember they did. He named him a team captain day in. Might have had Lovey. Might have had Lovey saying, "Hey, I'll trade you."
Know what? Lovey might have had Davis Mills starting week one.
Yeah. So you might not even have to worry about it. Might get the trade, and then D'Amico and CJ reunited. Who knows? Ron Hughley in the building. Adam Spillane in the building.
Good, fellas.
Sorry to present y'all with this sad hypothetical. I don't know why.
I don't know. What the hell y'all are talking about? That was very rough. I thought names weren't being said again here.
Just throwing some hypothetical. A little fantasy matchup between Lovey and CJ Stroud and D'Amico and Davis Mills. Just a little something.
I mean, players win, so if you have the quarterback, then you're probably going to win
that
match.
Though, right? You get a coach. Lovey can kill quarterbacks, though.
It's about the players.
We were trying to rank the importance of the main figures, like D'Amico, Nick, and CJ. So I went CJ, D'Amico, Nick.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit of space, though, in between CJ. Like, quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, there's some space.
Not some.
But there's how much space is there between D'Amico and Lovey?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because I've watched Brandon Staley do what he has done to Justin Herbert, and
yeah,
he's not calling the plays.
Yeah, well, he's installing the culture.
Let's try it this way.
CJ's by the way, CJ's not running this system with Lovey.
So CJ and Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, I don't know what's this.
Davis Mills. Davis Mills and Bobby Slowick.
Did we ever get an answer to your question of what a Pep Hamilton offense was?
No, we never did.
We never did.
I asked, that was the question of the offseason. What is a Pep Hamilton offense? I still don't know.
Not a good one.
Yeah, I still have no idea what exactly
Pep
it is.
Pep over there saying, hell, man, I got Davis. Let me get CJ. Let me see if you know what my offense looks
yeah,
like.
Hey.
No, and there's something to that. It probably, a lot to that. Probably look a lot better.
Spo, what'd you think of the Astros, the rally? Did it? Can we point to the moment that the Rangers decided to throw at Yordan Alvarez as the moment where the Astros woke up?
You know, I asked Espada about this on Friday, like because they scored like 5 straight runs after that and kind of got back into that game on Friday. He's like, no, this team doesn't need that. But, I mean,
really?
You could tell there was a little bit of a jolt.
Yeah, through Kyle that Tucker dugout threw when that. Happened. He threw that bat angrily.
Kyle Tucker will throw the bat, but not in that way. Like, he stared down Brock Burke, too. Now, it's also important to note that Brock Burke broke his hand punching a wall after that outing. So, I don't know if he was necessarily throwing.
Yeah, he went field on him, didn't he?
And the other thing was Bruce Bochy basically said he's out there because he has no command right now. So, I don't know if it was quite as on purpose as the Astros maybe thought it was, but it certainly didn't look good.
Well, they just need to play the Rangers all the time. They're 4-3 against the Rangers. What is it, 2-8 against everybody else?
They got that. They got the Rangers. So
don't play the Royals anymore.
Silver boot, baby.
Yeah, we might want to stay off them Royals.
take the Royals
sweeps,
off the schedule.
Two straight sweeps going back to last year. Twice.
Yeah, they got them in 4 at the end of the year last year. Thought that was going to cost the Astros the division, but yeah.
Are y'all ready for the for round 2 tonight of Adam Spillane's favorite prospect?
Who's my favorite prospect?
I'm just kidding.
Spencer Arrighetti?
Yeah, you were not.
Oh, you love Spencer.
I don't really know that much about him.
He had no, this is supposed to be my baseball prospect guy, and Spillane just completely, I don't know this guy.
But that goes to show you the
He's
Astros.
Their top prospect.
But that's the
Jacob
thing about,
Melton's their top
that's,
prospect.
That's the thing about Astros prospects,
pitching
though.
Prospect.
Their top pitching prospect is not a guy that you necessarily need to know a whole
lot about. I love it, Adam.
A lot about.
Adam, you don't even seem like you give a damn that you don't know much about Spencer, and I'm with you.
Why would you? Why would you?
And Justin Verlander's going to be back later this week, so.
Hey, y'all going to take that back when he gets 15 outs tonight. Y'all taking the over
15
under.
Whole outs.
He's getting 15 outs tonight, baby. Five strong.
I believe
strong.
In Spencer. I don't know
Five
what
strong.
About. I think he should just let the hair flow, though.
Oh, no man bun? Bump.
Nah, man, just let it flow, man. I don't care how hot it is. You're in a controlled environment, 72 degrees, let it flow.
That hair on the back of the neck, I'm telling you, it's not a good feeling.
It ain't 90.
Not a good feeling.
You're listening to KILT AM, KILT HD2. The Drive is live.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.